and welcome to another episode of the Customer Strategy Podcast. Today, I'm talking with Ruben Rabago and Greg Rose from Intellum. Ruben is the Chief Customer Officer, Greg is the Chief Experience Officer, and we're going to dig into all kinds of things around what do these roles and titles actually mean? What do they do? How do they work? I'm curious. I know you're curious, so let's get to it. All right, Ruben, welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, thanks, Nils. It's so great to see you. And we're actually literally in the same state and same city for once. And welcome to Arizona.
Thank you. It's been a blast. We've been here six-ish months or so. And it's sad that we haven't seen each other in person yet. But given the global state of things, you know, it's all A-OK because we will get there at some point in time. I'm stoked to be in Arizona, in your hometown. You're a lifelong Arizonan in Phoenix, too, right?
I am mostly raised in Phoenix. That's correct.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. Cool. And Greg, wonderful to connect with you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Super excited to be here. I've listened to a lot of the episodes in the past, so it feels like a personal treat to actually be a guest on the show. So it's
awesome. Wonderful. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. All right, guys. So we're going to start at the big picture level, high level. Okay, so Intellum, all right, company exists. Give us the 50,000 foot view of what Intellum does so we can set the context and the stage for the audience. So not only what the company does, but kind of the stage of growth that you're in, because that's going to play a big part into where both of your roles came into play and why they were important at this point in time. So I want to know where we're starting from. Ruben, you want to give us your, I'm putting you on the spot because you just joined this week or a week ago. So I want to hear your pitch, man. Let's hear.
What is Intellum? Sure. Yeah, Intellum is really the category creator of the customer education platform. And, the company's been doing this actually for over 20 years under, you know, the visionary leadership of our co-founder and CEO, Chip Ramsey. And, he's brought together an amazing collective of really smart learning scientists and practitioners and operational specialists. And in terms of what we do, Intellum combines the best of customer experience and education. And it sounds a little like customer success, but it's really to, you know, increase revenue, improve retention, and decrease support costs. And, you know, we do this for some of the world's leading brands like Google and Facebook and Amazon and Twitter, Snap, Stripe, MindBody, MailChimp, and of course, Gainsight is where I've launched from. And we impact all of those metrics really by bringing live, on-demand, instructionally designed content to engage and educate customers in a really very robust platform.
Love it. Oh, well done. All right, Greg, so you've been at the company a little longer than a week and what Ruben has. How do you do on his pitch?
I literally was sending Chip a quick text that said, Ruben's got the pitch down. he just nailed it in an interview. I couldn't have done it better myself, man.
Fantastic.
I think he said, he said all of the things. I mean, this is, we created the concept of the customer education platform. We were the first to market with the customer education platform. We have a long, long, long history of innovation. We keep sort of introducing new things. This year's sort of, unexpected journey was into the world of events and thinking about the fact that, you know, all of our clients suddenly had to figure out a solution for, you know, for what an event was going to look like in a virtual world. And we see that largely, especially when we think about things like user conferences or sales kickoffs or these kind of big meetings are all educational focused anyways. And so we think there's a clear correlation and a fit for an event inside the customer education experience. That sounds great. Like what happens when Gainsight actually has to do Pulse virtually? And what does it look like to, you know, quick snap, put it on the platform? And so, I think Ruben did a great job of setting the stage. And the only thing I would add is that, I think we continue to sort of rethink and refine and improve, how the market thinks about customer education.
That's really interesting. And these pieces of customer education impact so many things in the CS world, Ruben, where you came from, and even beyond, well beyond, because customer education is far beyond just customer success. So I'm excited to dig into that here. So Greg, let me ask you the question. So there was some point in time in the past where you and the leadership team were together and somebody said, we either need a CCO or maybe we should think about going down the path of a CCO. Can you give us a little context into what was going on inside the company before you came to the point where you said, we got to go find somebody, and then ultimately you found Ruben?
Yeah. You know, I think the one sort of caveat I'll give you there is that there wasn't much of a discussion about who. It was more it was more like we knew exactly who we wanted. was the timing right? Is I think a more truthful way to answer that question. We didn't do a massive search for a CCO. We knew exactly what we wanted. You know, I do think there is, if you look back historically, there is a point at which we start to think as a team, we need a CCO. And I think the impetus for that conversation and decision was 100% about growth. Mm-hmm. And we are, Intellum is a fascinating company with a really interesting history. You know, Ruben alluded to the fact that we're 20 years old. We're privately held. So there's, you know, we're not there's no outside investors. And so it's just a bit of a different experience and trajectory. We are in hyper growth mode. And in some ways we're sort of like we've been around for a while, but I think as evidenced by sort of the history of innovation that you can track year over year, we're almost like constantly in startup mode. We're always doing the next thing. Mm-hmm. And that can lead, as it did this year, as an example, into just significant growth. I mean, events brought us a whole new channel of customers, right? And growth is awesome. Everybody wants to grow. I think growth is good, but growth has impact on the organization. And it certainly has an impact on the client base, because suddenly, you know, what happens when you sort of quickly launch a new product that the market actually needs and actually meets the needs of the market and is good and viable and different than the alternative, and people start lining up to use the product. I mean, what happens is, one, a small group, you know, a smaller group of people are trying to cover more work than they were a week ago. Mm-hmm. Two, you start hiring to address the work. Three, you have an influx of, you know, new customers that, you know, so there's a wide range of impact, I think, on the organization. And I think it was that sort of growth and the impact of growth that really got us focused on adding someone with a unique skill set to help ensure that growth was positive, sustainable, mm-hmm. scalable. You know, and again, I think for us, when you think about that skill set and what a addition to an already incredibly strong team, I mean, our team is awesome, you know, and this is Ruben coming into this role is an addition. You know, this is a new role for us. It's supplementing the already, you know, just sort of like move mountains and pull off miracles teams, both like on the implementation side and the services side and the CS side, the support side. Like, you know, they're already doing amazing work. Like, when we looked at the skill set of what would support that team well, who would that person be? What does it has to be true? There was only one person.
Those are the best kinds of sourcing things, right? When there is only one person, and even better when it lines up and actually comes true. So Ruben, let's rewind the clock just a little bit. There was you joined Gainsight when, what number employee were you? Or it was early on, I know, but.
It was early. Like, I forget what my jersey number is. It's somewhere around here, like 142, okay. I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it was, I mean, it was early. We were early at a run rate of like 1.2 million.
Yeah.
Right. so
Everybody listening, remember when Games was at $1 million in recurring revenue? That was a long time ago. Okay, so you rode the wave with Gainsight for many, many years, and through the growth of Pulse, through the growth of the creating the Pulse Academy, took over this all strategy related to Pulse. So when you got to that point, you know, you've been riding Gainsight for a long time and running with those guys and their tremendous team and gals. So I'm curious, like, what was on your mind with regards to what you weren't getting in what you were doing and why some other greater position was going to be appealing to you, given just where the world was and what you were looking to do?
Yeah, I think what I almost first want to like start with the fact that, you know, I didn't necessarily have a trajectory, or if there's even such a trajectory of a traditional path to CCO. First, let's acknowledge that the CCO functional role is still relatively new. It's still being formed and curated and defined, and it's unique in some ways to every company. So I think, you know, I want to like in some ways encourage your listeners that might be aspiring to the CCO that there isn't necessarily a specific path. And if you look at sort of my own personal journey, you know, I started as a software developer while I was still in college, and I built a little solution to track like research grants and renewal cadences for clinical reporting outcomes at the University of Arizona Cancer Center when I was going to school there. Then I became a network engineer and project manager, jumped into my first startup to lead sort of like all things implementation, service and support related, became a product manager at WebMD, which is one of the companies that had acquired us, and built out a sales engineering function, led support. It's just like I was almost all over the place, including PMO, right? So when I joined Gainsight, it was actually as an individual contributor, CSM. So I went from leading really large teams, leading all things sort of like CS and post sales, because I believed in the mission. I believed in the purpose.
Hang on. Let me double click on that for a second. So what was the role you were doing just prior to Gainsight?
I was head of CS.
And what size company or were you?
It was about a little larger than Gainsight at the time. Actually, it was quite a bit larger. It was at a company named WebPT. So okay. I led all things, almost practically all things post sale, right? So customer success, support.
And how many training people are we talking that you were responsible for?
Oh, probably like 50 plus.
Wow. Okay. So you were running part of an organization that was of pretty good size. Your responsibility included 50 people, and you left that to go become an individual contributor CSM in what year was this? 2013?
Yeah, 13, 14.
Probably 2013. 13. Yeah.
13,
yeah.
Actually December 13.
Yeah. So in 2013, you left that running a department of 50 14, people to go to be an individual contributor at a startup with around $1 million in annual recurring revenue in a space that at that time in 2013, nobody had a clue what it even was. Why the mission? Like what was it that spoke to you about that? Because that's a huge, huge monumental shift that most people would look at you and be like, dude, what is going on? Why would you do that? You had such a great gig lined up.
Yeah, I think this is a great question, Nils. And it points to the fact that throughout my career, with exception to Gainsight, now Intellum, I was in healthcare IT, mm-hmm. or healthcare technology. And while I wasn't the surgeon and I wasn't the one who was curing cancer or caring for patients, that wasn't my calling. But I definitely had a gift for the technology and had a gift for service. And so for me, there was like, it was one degree away from helping people. Mm-hmm. And if I could help those that were helping patients potentially elongate their lives or save lives or had that connection point, it was really easy to put passion and my energy behind my work because it was helping clinicians make better decisions. And it was helping the practitioners do their jobs better. And so when I started hearing this message of customer success, it was a very similar type of thing. And I did have actually two opportunities. I could have jumped into one of the largest, fastest growing companies at the time in Silicon Valley to lead their customer success team. And I love what Dan Steinman had told me at the time. He says, Ruben, I'm sure you could go crush it and you'd have a real big impact on that one company and maybe the customers that you serve. But at Gainsight, you have an opportunity to impact an entire industry and to have an influence on hundreds, if not thousands of customers and tens of thousands of people. Wow. And it just made huge sense to me. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't have a leadership position, but we could certainly use somebody with your talent and your experience and your wide breadth and somebody can some help sort of tackle these large companies and customers we're starting to gain. And so I took the more risky job, less pay, it was like everybody was looking at me sort of like crazy, but I knew it was the right thing. I absolutely knew it was the right thing.
That's amazing. And that's why Dan Steinman will always be known as the godfather of customer success.
Absolutely.
That's such an incredible story, man. I love the passion and willingness to go for the less certain path, the things that are going to be a little bit different. I mean, not too different from joining a company as a CCO, right? When there's only not that many CCOs in existence, you're going again, the lesser path. You could have been, you probably could have even gone into a CRO seat someplace. You could have definitely been in a VP of CS seat someplace, but no, you chose a different path again, similar to this. And I'm gathering that you probably align with Intellum's mission quite a bit, which helped, pave the way for you guys to work together here. Is that right?
It very much did. And, and the one message that I sort of didn't convey to you and honestly just being very vulnerable, a buddy of mine here, Nils, right?
Yes.
For much of my career, really, I felt like I was always behind my peers, frankly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw many of them advancing or getting promoted. And, I always believed maybe it was because I changed functional roles maybe one too many times and maybe it impeded my trajectory. And it's crazy, even after Ashwin and I published a book.
Yeah.
I still had that in my head, right? It was sort of crazy.
Can I put a name to that? Are you talking about imposter syndrome?
I don't know, but I can tell you one thing that I read one of the most enlightening books that I've read in many, many years. And it's a book called Range, RANGE, by mm-hmm. David Epstein. And its subtitle is Why Generalists Triumph in a Specialized World. And this literally changed my entire outlook as I looked back and reflected on my career path to where I'm at today. And it really has an impact on the way I'm looking forward. So if you haven't read it, those listening haven't read it, seriously, grab it now. Put this on pause. Go grab that book. Put it in your inbox and just get it. Get started this weekend. I mean, it's been seriously life changing for me, and it put everything into perspective for me.
That's fantastic, because I view myself in very much the same way. It's probably why we've been friends for so long, right? There was a million different jobs that I did and a lot of lateral movements seemingly here and there. And I ultimately ended up in the right place for me. But so much of it came down to the confidence that I was doing the right thing, right? And there's always that question, like you said, like looking at your peers, looking at others who've been promoted, looking to the industry or to just other networks for validation. And we both know that doesn't end up in a very positive place, right?
It does. That's a lot of wasted energy and anxiety, man.
It is.
Right?
But it hits us, right? And this is why, from a leadership perspective, whether you're a CCO or a VP or a director or manager or even an individual contributor, it all starts with the psychology, right? It all starts with the beliefs that you have about yourself. This is why it's such a core component. It's the very first pillar in my book, 30-Day Leadership Playbook, is all about leading yourself. If you do not lead yourself, you will not be able to lead other people. And that's where it all starts. And I'm really, really intrigued by this book, Range, because I'm definitely going to pick that up. Because I too am a generalist in a specialized world and the way I serve and the way I work with clients. So I'm super excited about that. We'll get back to my interview with Ruben and Greg in just a moment. But right now, I want to tell you about an opportunity to build your leadership skills. You just heard me mention in our conversation my book, and it's called 30 Day Leadership Playbook, your guide to becoming the leader you have always wanted to be. Right now, you can pick up a copy of my playbook for just $10, and I'm going to include over $200 in free bonuses. That's right, you get the professionally recorded audiobook version, some additional leadership training, and the quick reference cards that accompany the book so that you get the best and most important information to take with you on the go. You can pick up a copy of this right now by going to 3030dayleadership.com/playbook. That's 3030dayleadership.com/playbook. Grab your copy, and I'll give you instant access to all of the bonuses. Let's get back to the CCO role as you're stepping into at Intellum. I want to hear broad strokes. Like you said before, it's all about growth, or Greg says it's all about growth. Like, what does that mean? And what are you actually getting into in and responsible for walking into this at Intellum?
Yeah, well, you know, for Intellum, it entails managing a team of professionals that serve Intellum's global customer base. And it's about helping drive success for every one of our clients. You know, this includes advising on their strategic learning initiatives, and really, like any good platform solution, it's about maximizing the use of our solutions so that our clients' customers and their constituents can benefit from the motion and from this collaboration that we have with our customers. You know, and functionally it includes the customer success team, global support, and the service implementation. So, you know, and if I think about sort of like one of your early questions to DeGrega, I wanted to sort of like add on, if you think about this just for a second, think about what CSMs do, right? This is the world I just came out of. And one of the huge attractions to me to this space, and certainly to Intellum, is that CSMs tend to be the most impactful for the customer when they do what? When they educate the customer, mm-hmm. right? And customer education is literally like the single most powerful initiative in actually delivering on the promise of customer success. So if I sort of like encapsulate that phrase right there, it makes like perfect sense why I'm here mm-hmm. at Intellum, right? And if we dive into that just a little bit more, like companies are generally, and I love what Greg's taught, you know, Greg sort of have given this to me, right? Companies are really good at selling the idea of outcomes. You know, we've heard it, right? Value selling or outcome selling, but most aren't great at teaching customers how to achieve those outcomes, and certainly don't do a great job doing it autonomously, right? Mm-hmm. So our clients utilize our platform to teach their customers or their constituents how to actually attain, right, the outcome. And it's no longer just a promise or aspirational, right? It's actual motion of learning and then applying what you've learned into your functional role, you know, which then begins to have a change in behavior on a very different or really impactful manner, which shifts the outcome, certainly better than where it was before, right? And so then turning the mirror on ourselves, you know, we too like have to ensure that Intellum clients are achieving the outcome that they purchased from us, right? And the expectations and the promise that we deliver to them during the sales cycle. And, you know, which is really teaching their customers how to achieve their outcomes, right? Which allows our customers to attain their goals. So it's really very meta. Which is, again, this is sort of like the sweet spot for me.
I'm seeing that more and more, knowing you for so many years and all the background and now this description of where you're at with Intellum. That's really cool. So that changing behaviors piece is a really interesting one. And education has, you know, always been at the forefront of changing behavior, period, in whatever context you want to talk about. However, the measurement has always been a little bit of a challenge when we're talking behavior-based things that we go through education, training, whatever those things are. So I'm curious for your take and Intellum's take, and Greg, chime in here, please, too. with how the measurement aspect comes in, like we can talk about outcomes from at the customer level, but when we're talking about changing behavior as a result of an experience that customers go through from an education platform, how do you know that that actually translates into changed behavior?
Well, you're asking the $1 million question.
I know. That's what I get paid to do.
That is the most, in my opinion, the most significant differentiator for Intellum. Our mission is to help companies drive real world business outcomes out of education, specifically customer education. And I think historically there's probably an entire episode on the evolution of customer education. You know, I mean, I think historically education, and Chip, our CEO, you know, has a whole talk track on this, and it's awesome. I mean, when he talks about it, it makes a lot of sense. But like education, we know education is hard. I mean, we can look at our own school system and know that like achieving some kind of outcome out of education is difficult. It's hard to put your finger on it. It's hard to replicate it. It's clearly problematic. And the ways of doing it, the way we've done things historically, is problematic. And I think, you know, then there's this whole subset of like employee education on the business side, where we're doing things like, you know, there's like compliance training, and we have to do that. We have to do sexual harassment training. There's some things we have to do. And then there's this sort of, you know, more modern take on like helping people achieve some kind of personal learning journey. And there's lots of strategies around how you sort of, you know, identify and help the individual become the best them they can become, kind of stuff. And I think when you turn things towards the customer, there's a whole other set of ideas that can become sort of the goals, and then ultimately the metrics by which you measure success. What it can't be is like completions or education for education's sake, right? I think what we're aiming for is understanding, and I say we, I mean like business, you know, in general, is understanding what our company's objectives are. What is the company setting out to do? And then determining sort of what it is that we want the individual user to do that will lead to that objective. And then figuring out how to educate that individual user into a behavior change, which is very different from the ways we sell or market that individual, or market to that individual. I mean, education is a science. There is a process by which, you know, you change behavior. And so we got to figure out what we're trying to attain for the individual user. And then we got to do things like build the content to address that. We've got to build the marketing to support it. There's all kinds of, things that go into play to make sure that we're changing the individual behavior. We're doing that behavior change at scale, that behavior change has been architected in a way that it's going to impact whatever the larger business objective is. In my opinion, when we talk about business objectives, the things I think are attainable through education are things like product utilization and renewals, customer retention, because you're teaching people to achieve the outcomes that they purchased from you. So they're more likely to renew. Decreases in support costs, because they're not submitting dumb tickets. They understand how the tool works. And so they're less likely to submit, you know, low level tickets. And when they do submit a ticket, maybe we can start to track that it's a ticket of higher value. It leads to something like a cross sell or an upsell. And so I think those are sort of the types of things that we try and successfully make a correlation between.
Yeah. And I think, you know, but if I could just interject there, like, you know, the real thing that probably the single most thing that attracted me to Intellum is that, you know, they've always been led by sort of like this learning science approach and continue to be informed, through that thought leadership in an area that I just don't see happening anywhere else, right? And so there's this real opportunity with customer education to create those experiences that Greg was describing here, but to do so in really repeatable outcomes if you start with sort of the science first, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in general, it's been very undisciplined, very sort of like unscientific, and let's see what sticks to the wall, and let's, you know, throw up this like piece of content, right? But, you know, just looking at one piece of research, like we know like the length of content and the way content is presented in very consumable mechanisms, and then that is tied to the learner. If that is like informed by a scientific approach, then you start having impact on behavior, because you're measuring that, and you are also measuring the outcomes as well.
I see. All right. So Ruben, you launched the Pulse Plus way back a couple of years ago at Gainsight on the Intellum platform. Can you stair step through a couple of these things Greg was just highlighting, things you were just talking about in the context of a real life thing? You don't have to reveal specifics and behind the scenes stuff, but I just want to know like a real example that probably is a good chunk of listeners out there who are in the customer success base. They know Pulse Plus. They probably have had a subscription or have a subscription, right? Can you put a little flavor of that on this, you know, the general categories we've been talking about?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna stay at a fairly high level and bore everybody, you know, with nerd speak here, but I'll state that you know, Anthony Canada had a real vision for meeting the need, as did Dan Steinman, of this growing space and the demand for helping professionals get oriented to customer success. Because, you know, we weren't graduating any people with customer success degrees, that they don't exist, right? And so they had to be sourced from account management or support or project management. And so there had to be some level of orientation to help just baseline an entire business motion of what is customer success, what are the basics. And so that's what customer success was born out of, and was born out of, frankly, the work Mr. Steinman had done in Customer Success University. You know, you and I have done many Pulse Academy Lives things. And so this was about creating an on-demand, really wonderful, quick consumable experience that was online. And of course, like, you know, I went through the process of evaluating different opportunities. But it just so happened that I had formulated this concept, like this, I had like this idea of like Spotify. I wanted the experience to be really, really gorgeous and personalized. And you know, I had this concept, and Greg Rose and I were not colleagues. We were waiting at the Sydney airport, returning to LAX at a Pulse APAC 2018, I believe. And we got stuck in line for like 90 minutes. And it was the best 90 minutes I've ever had in my learning sort of experience, because what Greg shared with me was the fact that I was missing strategy, and I was missing a strategic learning plan, and that this wasn't just about throwing content in front of consumers. This was about having a well thought out content plan, and one that would keep individuals engaged, and that there had to be learning objectives, and that had to be started. So he started layering on top of me and telling me things that I hadn't even conceived. Because most of us who've been through corporate education consume it, check the box off, and go. And what Greg was doing for me was he was enlightening and giving me a roadmap and a way to get there that I had never conceived before. So he was solutioning with me, and we never talked about the platform in the entire 90 minutes, right? And so for me, the value that I started getting from Intellum was the thought leadership. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar?
Yep.
Right?
Sure does.
and so that to me was like literally what set Intellum apart from anybody else I had talked to. Because everybody else I had talked to immediately started going down the feature, and you could do this. And that was like, yeah, it better do that. But I need a thought partner. I need a strategic resource to help guide me, because I thought I knew what I was doing, but I really didn't.
The word thought partner, drill in on there, because that one comes up all the time in customer success, right? Oh, we should be a thought partner with our clients. We should be a whatever, you name it, fill in the blank, right? But it sometimes is hard, right? So people know, what does it mean to be a thought partner? I think this is one of the purest examples I've heard of exactly that in action, which is there's like nothing at stake here. It's purely just bringing of expertise at a framework level of things that are absolutely necessary in order to make you, Ruben, successful in whatever thing it is that you're doing, shared for the sole benefit of helping you see things from a different perspective, right? That, in my view, is an incredible example of a thought partner. Greg, you did that very well. And look at this, 2 years later, now you guys are our colleagues and working together in one 90-minute session. So it's just an example that even at any CSM level, individual contributor, manager, director, VP, CCO, if you are not approaching the conversations that you're having with your customers from that thought partner level, which means bringing a higher level view and framework level thinking to things that they have not considered, then you're missing a massive opportunity to have an impact on your customer, just like Greg did with Ruben, right? So awesome, super cool.
Amen.
Story. Yeah.
That's
the goal, right? We're done. Yeah, we should just call it quits now, right? and this is a lot of the work that I do with my clients is working on how to bring that to the table. Because if you come to the table simply focused on usage or simply focused on features or simply focused on functions, you just miss. I mean, think of it like this. You could swap out, not to sound too harsh or anything, but you could technically swap out anybody for somebody else if all they're doing is regurgitating base level stuff, right? Here's how you use this feature. Here's how you use function. Here's a demo, blah, 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 blah. However, if you come to the table saying, you know what? Let me ask you a few questions about your situation. Let me understand your world. And then let me share some recommendations on things that I think would be helpful for you that you're just not seeing right now based off of my deep expertise. Because this is, guess what? This is what I do all day, every day.
And science,
one change. And science
and research.
It's based on right? that. Exactly. It's based on science and research. And if that was the conversation, the game is changed entirely, just like it was with you, right? Just like it was with you signing up with Intellum for Pulse Plus, just like it was with you signing up to CCO. I mean, that one conversation is that powerful. And that is the same thing that can happen with every single person's conversations with every single client they're having who is listening to this.
You nailed it, Nils. You summed it up like perfectly.
Hey. You laid it out there, man. I just bring it home. All right. So coming back to, anytime an executive joins a new company, there's always, there's a lot going on. Let's just say that, right? And frankly, at any level there is. Now there's a lot of books on this topic. The first 90 days is a classic one, right? In our world of hypergrowth, as Greg was saying, sometimes that stuff doesn't apply. Right? It just doesn't fit. It's wonderful if you have the time and discipline to be able to do that. So I'm curious, Ruben, as coming in CCO, I want to know what the first like 6 to 12 months of your world looks like so that you can give just the view that of what might be something that it looks like to step into at this level in a company like Intellum who's going through this much growth. Like, where's the focus got to be for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. Obviously, it's a question I was informed before I stepped in, and certainly had a point of view that aligned with Chip. So, my goal honestly is, I certainly have that 6 to 12 month plan, but I am like holistically, like just whole in focused on my first sort of 90 days. And it is really to begin to dissect our internal operations and finding opportunities to amplify what awesome work is already taken place. And to take that effort and turn some of the research findings like we've done with Forrester and into real world results, right? In out for our customers. And that's gonna require some really heavy lifting, right? So this is Friday of my very second week at Intellum. And so I'm focusing on customer segmentation strategies, team and operational efficiencies and understanding sort of and optimizing the processes that are in place, aligning KPIs and various metrics and of course all the other indicators. And I'm going to say this like shamelessly, like my first 30 days, I am keenly focused on improving my own Intellum product expertise. Because if I don't nail that, then I am not that thought partner. If I don't involve myself to become a novice learning science expert, right, or practitioner, I am not going to be able to have the kind of conversation that Greg Rose had with me, with others, right? So Chip's like all in for it, I recently told the head of support, like, I'm your employee basically for the next, 30 days, get me sort of ramped up, because literally prioritizing that is like number one for me. And then second, and not in sort of like a first, second stage, like the other thing that I'm highly focused on is our people. Because frankly, it's what I look forward to every single day. Endearing ourselves to each other, I think is like, you have one chance to do that as a new leader. I take that so incredibly seriously. I've been on the receiving end of incredible leaders and really cold-hearted ones. And so there is a huge contrast in the way you treat humans. I have to thank Nick Mehta for using that sort of that phrase of human first. So I'm doing my best to apply that compassion and the lens of humanity in everything that I do.
That's wonderful. I mean, and the team, the people who have the opportunity to work with leaders like yourself, one of my coaches called it the ripple effect of change, right? As you impart your expertise and your wisdom and your caring and endearing nature to other people, they in turn will do the same to their colleagues and their friends and their family. If you take the other tack and, the super hard driving and just not personable and basically let's put it as the bad boss, they will do the same thing. So, right. So you can have a ripple that's really positive or a ripple that's really negative. And I love the fact that you are in the former camp, and knowing you for so many years, I know how important that is ultimately to you. I want to highlight just one thing I took away from what you were saying about your focus area over the next, 30 days and then going into 6 months and things. And back to our psychology piece. So a lot of times when I get into conversations with anybody who's not in a senior level role, like who's at an IC individual contributor level role, or maybe even manager, there's oftentimes this big like amorphous thing that sits up at a director level or a VP level or a CCO level. Right. And I just want to highlight, just listen to what Ruben was saying about his focus in the first 30 days, in the first 6 months, in the first 12 months. Right. These are things that still apply at different levels, of course, but they still apply to everybody who joins a role. Right. Deeply understanding your product, deeply understanding your customer base, figuring out how your processes work and how your internal teams work, customer segmentation, right, team operations, KPIs, metrics. These are core things that regardless of level, it's not a big mysterious place that all of a sudden you're CCO and whoo, what on earth is going on there? No, it's the same thing, just at a slightly different level. But some of those same things, I just wanted to help demystify that a little bit. And I really love that you were just upfront and honest about these are the things that are important, frankly. And if you're a VP or if you're a director or if you're an IC, they would still be important, just slightly different context. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it from that vantage point, just because it's natural and it makes sense. I honestly can't imagine navigating past 90 days without that foundation.
Yeah. to know that whatever level you're going into, that foundation building is still 100% critically important, regardless of if you're a VP, a director, a CCO, CEO even, same thing, right? Different outcomes and different objectives, but ultimately you're doing the same stuff. So never put yourself in a position where you think that whatever the next step is in your career, whatever the next goal is for you, is so unattainable because you can't possibly fathom what you do at that level. A lot of the stuff is still core and still the same. And that's a really important piece that helps back to the psychology we were talking about earlier and having the confidence to go into those roles. Just like you had the confidence to go into this brand new role, which you had never been a CCO before, right?
Never been a CCO
never
before.
Never been a CCO before, right? But you took that leap and you brought that level of confidence into here. And that shows through in everything, as you've heard in our discussion. So I just want to reinforce that, because the psychology, if you nail that, everything else becomes infinitely easier. Then you're just dealing with problems, and problems are easy.
Yeah, I have to tell you, Nils, it's like every job I've ever taken that's been new, I've had a level of anxiety that is probably off the charts.
Yeah.
Remarkably, I have not experienced that moving into Intellum. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because I read the book Range. Maybe it's because I was incredibly familiar with Intellum. There's probably a lot of factors for that, but you said it very, very well. I think there is a level of confidence that comes from practicing.
Yep.
And practicing. Yep. And practicing.
Yep. So if you put in the time and the effort to get the reps in, by the time it comes to step into that seat, whether it's, again, manager, director, VP, CCO, then you'll be ready. Right? That's the most important thing, is what centers around a lot of work that I do with my coaching clients, from manager and director level up to VPs and CCOs too. Right? Everybody struggles with psychology. Period. I struggle with it too. I've had my own challenges. I'm sure Greg would say he'd have some challenges too. Right?
Yes.
100%. And it's always okay, right? That's the key piece. And Ruben, you and I have had so many, great conversations around these kinds of topics over the past. And it's always okay. Right? It's always okay to talk to somebody else. It's always okay to share. The CS community as a whole is probably the best place in the world to have an open and honest conversation with just about anybody else at your peer level or even one level above. Like, it's just because of the nature of the people. We're very fortunate that way. Cool. So guys, as we bring this our conversation to a close here, I'm curious for what your final thoughts are on this question. All right. So Ruben, question for you, and it'll be a different one for you, Greg. But Ruben, the question for you is, you are now CCO. You have been a leader of departments. You have been individual contributor. You have risen back up through the ranks. Like, you've gone all around every different part, from early stage company to growth stage to beyond, okay? I wanna know, like, the advice that you would give Ruben from 20 years ago, if you were sitting there having a coffee with him from your favorite coffee place in Phoenix, that mocha type of coffee that you gave me as a gift last year at Pulse Plus. What advice would you give Ruben from 20 years ago, knowing everything you know now?
I would say number one is, dude, stop worrying so much. Like, just take a deep breath. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to live and breathe tomorrow. And second, is continue to be discerning and align yourself with people who can edify you.
Tell me more about what you mean by that.
What I mean by that is people who will challenge you, who you can learn from, who you can model, and who will bolster you, who will lift you up, who will be a source of counsel, and as well as peer. Mm-hmm. And at some point along the journey, you're going to find out you're going to be that for others. It's going to come very, very naturally. And I think it's the one thing that I've been incredibly fortunate. I am a reflection of the mentors that I've had in my life, and the people and the influences. And so it's really easy for me. And honestly, very occasionally, maybe honestly, once a month, I go back and I read in my own book one specific section, and it's the acknowledgments. Mm-hmm. Because it humbles me, it regrounds me, because where I'm at today is literally not my own journey. It's a culmination of everybody I've interacted with, good and bad. And so I would say learn from every interaction that you have. And at the end of the day, it almost doesn't matter like what the business is, what the technology is, what the platform, what the solution. It's about, are you elevating humanity? Are you elevating the person next to you in the moment?
That's absolutely wonderful. All right, Greg, I said I was going to ask you a different question. I changed my mind. Same question. You are sitting down having coffee with your 20 years ago self. I want to know what advice you would give to Greg from 20 years ago.
I think Ruben just gave me the best advice today, 20 years ago or today. I think he just nailed it. I was just sitting there thinking, like, he's describing his relationship with me. He is all of those things to me, right? He has been my guide, my mentor, my client. He has challenged me. He does challenge me. I think surrounding yourself with those people, that's such solid advice, especially for 20-year-old me. It's remarkable. If I had to add something, I would tell myself that I can't possibly know everything. 20 years ago, I knew nothing, but I felt an immense pressure in my career to sort of have this persona and take on this sort of weight of needing to be an expert and give people advice. My own career trajectory is not dissimilar to Ruben's. I've done a lot of things, and they've kind of led me into this new sort of unknown, very uncommon role. And, I still today, I think I have to remind myself that it's not my job to know everything, right? I think 20 years ago, it was my job to learn as much as I could. I think today it's my job to learn as much as I can. I think 20 years ago, it was not my job to know the answer. It was my job to try to find the answer. I think today it's not my job to know the answer every time, maybe sometimes. 20 years later, maybe I'm supposed to know some answers. But a lot of times it's actually to go determine the answer or find the answer. And I think we all have a tendency to apply an overwhelming amount of pressure to ourselves in terms of how we're supposed to perform and what our perceived value is. And I had a friend recently remind me that no one is thinking about me as much as I think they are. Right. And so those are the things that I would want to tell myself 20 years ago, although just saying them again right now is very cathartic. Like, I should hear all of this again right now as well. Like, I think these things are still true.
Awesome. That's wonderful insights from both of you, veterans in the field, incredible people, incredible leaders working for a great company, championing some incredible stuff. I'm super excited for both of you, for Intellum. And this, the role of the CCO becoming even bigger and broader, because we know that more customer focus is probably going to help us in the long run, right? Especially as we still have recurring revenue businesses. It's all about our customers and ensuring they are successful, ensuring they have the education that they need, ensuring they understand the science behind that, ensuring they're driving meaningful outcomes, right? And that's what you guys are there to do. So, so wonderful to have spent a little bit of time with you today. Thank you both so much. And I look forward to keeping in touch and hearing about all the great things that you and Intellum are going to do. Take care, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
There you have it. Another great episode of the Customer Strategy Podcast. If you'd like to get a copy of my book, 30-Day Leadership Playbook, your guide to becoming the leader you have always wanted to be, simply go to 30dayleadership.com/playbook. That's 30dayleadership.com/playbook. And I look forward to connecting with you on a future episode.